From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
What a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside, Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
The Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. An Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Ken DeSormo to win it by two.
Oh, my goodness. Look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely wrapped in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Happy Breeders' Cup Saturday, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron, Mike Penna, and the Pontiff, Jude Feld. They are at the Great Race Place getting ready to bring you all of the Saturday Breeders' Cup action from Santa Anita. That's 3 to 9 today, Eastern Time, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And you're tuned in where you need to be, Sirius XM 93, and of course, always streaming live at horseracingradio.net. That's from 3 to 9 today, presented by visitbarbados.org. You can go over to our sister station in Spanish, HRRN, and Espanol.com, and hear El Potro, Roberto Rodriguez, and the gang do all 9 Breeders' Cup races, all in Spanish. So we have you covered bilingually here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm at Aqueduct, and we are recording this on Friday morning, full disclosure. So you will not hear about the Friday Breeders' Cup results because we do not know them. If I knew the Friday Breeders' Cup results right now, I'd be a very, very rich man. And I'd still be talking to you, but I would be a very, very rich man. I'm at Aqueduct. I'll produce it to the stars here at HRRN. My main man, Lee Delapina, is down in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Look, it's the best weekend the sport has to offer, and we're excited to bring you all of the coverage here at HRRN. If you are a loyal listener, you've been tuning in all week to our Breeders' Cup countdown shows, and that's what you'll get a lot of this morning. We've cherry-picked some of the best interviews from those three countdown shows this morning and some of the other work the team has done out in Kentucky. Mike, of course, is joined out in Kentucky, in California, rather, by the Pontiff, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker, as well as Jeff Bloom and some others out there. And they've done a fantastic job all week. This morning, you will hear from Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. He'll look for his third consecutive Breeders' Cup Classic. He won it in 2014 with Bayern. Of course, last year with American Pharoah in historic fashion. We'll hear from Bob a little later on in the show. Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau will talk about, of course, the Europeans, and they'll take another swing here against the U.S. contingent. They have won countless races here at the Breeders' Cup. They've won 57 races overall, including a remarkable 46 of the 106 that have been run on grass. That's a 43% mark, folks. When they run a Breeders' Cup race on grass, a Euro wins it 43% of the time. And there'll be 6 Breeders' Cup races in all on the turf at these World Championships, 4 Saturday alone. We'll hear from Alistair Donald about the Euro invasion here in the first hour. Then in the second hour, one of my favorite people in all of horse racing, Hall of Famer Mike Smith. Going into this Breeders' Cup weekend, Mike has won 22 Breeders' Cup races. In all likelihood, he will add to that total this weekend. We'll hear from Mike in hour number two. We'll hear from Dale Romans in hour number two. Dale could not be higher, I don't believe, on a horse than not this time in the juvenile. Dale has been talking up his chances in a big, big way the last week or so. Not this time. It was installed as your 7-2 morning line favorite. And we'll have Dale say a few words about him a little later on in the show. And then we'll wrap up the show with our Road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. Joe Withey from Emerald Downs, a good friend of mine and one of the best handicappers I know, is going to jump on board with us right around the 9:45 time. And we're going to talk Breeders' Cup Classic. We'll talk about the turf sprint in the Juvenile Fillies. I let Joe pick the races he wanted to talk about. That's what we will talk about. The Classic, the turf sprint, and the Juvenile Fillies. That's with Joe Withy at the end of the program in hour number two. Of course, the star of the day, the Breeders' Cup Classic. $6 million, a mile and a quarter on the dirt. California Chrome looks to add to an already record-setting North American record, $13 million and change in earnings, the richest thoroughbred in the history of North America. He'll look to add to that record-setting bankroll with a win in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And it's a race that, since day one, has brought us some of the more memorable moments in the history of our sport. Wild again in the very first Breeders' Cup Classic, 1984, played bumper cars along with Slew of Gold and Gate Dancer, survived the inquiry to get it done in 84. 1987, Ferdinand won the Battle of the Kentucky Derby winners over Ali Sheba, who came back to win his Classic in 1988. The final chapter of the brief yet intense rivalry of Sunday Silence and Easy Goer was settled at Gulfstream Park in 1989 with Sunday Silence hanging on to beat my favorite horse of all time, Easy Goer. Who can forget Jerry Bailey's remarkable run of three consecutive classics with Our Kong as the biggest price in the history of the Breeders' Cup? He paid $269.20 in 1993. Concern much less in 1994. And, of course, the one and only cigar, the unconquerable, invincible, unbeatable cigar in 1995. $3.40, tied with American Pharoah for the lowest price winner in the history of the Classic. Awesome again finished his perfect season in 98 with a Classic victory. Tis Now, the only horse to win two Classics, did it in 2000 and 2001 over a couple of nifty Europeans in Giants Causeway and Saki. Valpony blew up the tote board and the pick six scandal with his win in 2002 at 43-1. Ghost Zapper set the stakes record in 2004 in the Lone Star Park Breeders' Cup. Curlin capped his Horse of the Year campaign in 2007, splashing through the slop at Monmouth Park. Zenyatta kept the undefeated dream alive in 2009 before Blame stopped it in 2010, handing Zenyatta the only loss of her 20-race career. And then, of course, like we said, Bayern and American Pharoah gave Baffert back-to-back classics. Can Arrogate give him number three in a row? Arrogate looks to topple California Chrome with a record-setting third win in the Classic for his Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert. And that's who we'll talk to next. You'll hear from Bob Baffert when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside. Three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch. Ginger Punch to win it. Ginger Punch won it.
9 millionaires, including 5 multimillionaires.
Game on, dude. Going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude. And Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Go, Shepard.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Grade 1 winner Data Link by world-renowned sire Warfront. Data Link scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 Mile at Keeneland. Then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. With a pedigree free of Mr. Prospector in the first four generations, Data Link is the perfect outcross option. His first weanlings turned heads, selling well above the stud fee. Data Link at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
LBO is putting in a run toward the inside. 30 Stones is set down for the drive. Sheikh Al Badu is coming with his run down the center of the racetrack. Then Super Strike. Rubiano's 8 lengths for the lead. And it's Mia Farah leading the way with the 16th to come. 30 Stones, her only challenger. Mia Farah trying to hold. 30 Stones surges to victory. It's 30 Stones who wins by a neck. Mia Farah was again second, and Rubiano was third, and the time was 1:08:01. Well, the filly almost got home, but it was that late charge of 30 Slews here in the stretch to get the victory in a sparkling time.
It was the first of 12 career Breeders' Cup wins for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. 30 Slews takes the 1992 Breeders' Cup Sprint at Gulfstream Park. Eddie Delahousse, fellow Hall of Famer, was in the saddle. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron, Mike Penna, and the Pontiff, Jude Fell. Just because Mike and Jude aren't here doesn't mean you can avoid hearing the Baron's voice on the Equine Forum. Before we hear from Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, here's Mike with a few words from MLS Power Sports.
Hey everyone, Mike Pennant here to tell you all about my friends Mark and Trish Smith at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. I recently purchased an ATV and trailer from MLS Power Sports, and I can tell you firsthand, they'll greet you with a friendly and knowledgeable staff, and they're passionate about off-roading, whether it be for work or play. MLS Power Sports is Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer. Today is the final day to take advantage of their factory authorized clearance with the lowest prices of the year on 2016 models and rebates up to $3,700 on non-current models. It is a great time to get the best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV. Visit MLSPowerSports.com and stop by and see them today.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRR and Hall of Famer Bob Baffert there's not too many like the Silverhead Fox out in California, of course, coming off of an Eclipse Award win and a historic campaign with his charge American Pharoah last year, the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup Classic. Bob caught up with our team out at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita. Another big assault led by Travers winner Arrogate into this year's Breeders' Cup. Arrogate will be the second choice in all likelihood behind California Chrome later on this afternoon in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. And here's Bob with the gang earlier this week out in California.
We'll bring you Bob Baffert. Why not? We'll spend a little time talking with him. The 1992 Breeders' Cup Sprint, the first of many Breeders' Cup victories for you, my friend. That has to bring back a few memories.
Actually, the first thoroughbred I ever purchased at auction. I bought him for $30,000. I was scared to death. Didn't have an owner. I was trembling, shaking, trying assigning a ticket. Then all of a sudden, my name was being called to the office because I never got credit pre-check. So I had to run back there, and they told me, Mr. Baffert, we don't have your credit here. Well, I didn't think I was going to buy a horse. I was trying to get this other client to buy the horse, and he bailed on me. So I raised my hand, and but I'm good for it. I told him, well, we need to call your bank right now.
So it's quarter horse, guys.
Luckily, I had just enough funds to cover the $30,000. And they put a lock on it. Keeneland used to be really, really tough, you know. But that's the only time I've ever been called in the office to to double check my credit. You know, what do you expect? I'm walking around with a cowboy hat on, you know. Nobody knew who I was, and but that was the first horse, and that's why he was by Sloopy. And if somebody asked me, how much did you give for him? And I told him I gave 30 freaking slews for him, and that's why he got his name. And I shipped him. Hey, I shipped him on a trailer all the way to Los Alamitos, and I kept him there for a week, and I cut him up. You know, I just pieced him off there. Took me a week to do it, but we got it done.
Could you imagine at that point you'd be sitting here today having trained a Triple Crown winner, having won all the other Breeders' Cup races you've won? Could you even imagine?
No, I mean, I can't imagine I won a Breeders' Cup with him because I didn't know what I was doing at the time. So that horse is so good that I wish I had him now. I could have probably won a couple Breeders' Cup races with him. And so fortunately, he pulled it through, and it was so exciting. I remember when he hit the wire, I thought, this is it. I've reached the top of my professional. This will never get any better than this. You know, I might as well go back to training quarter horses and stuff. But, you know, it sort of started picking up a little bit of steam. And in this business, we're only good for about 6 months off of what we do. So, you know, that really helped me. But actually, what really got me going is the classics. When I had Cavaneer, the cowbred, when he won the Santa Anita Derby and went to the Derby, and then you got beat by Grindstone the last 30 nostril.
Tough beat.
And that was tough. And it was like, and I remember telling that, I told everybody that I was, one thing I got out of the way is the toughest beat of my life is out of the way. So here comes Real Quiet in the Belmont. Why'd I say that? So here comes Elliot Walden, who'd been chasing me all along. So he was, you know, he was due some luck. So, I mean, that horse was a really good horse. So Victory Gallop. And he just nailed me right on the wire. And it's funny that in those Triple Crown, I'd use Gary Stevens, get beat in the Triple Crown. Vic Stevens comes back, he beats me in the Triple Crown. I mean, it just, McCarron beats me. He was riding Silver Charm earlier. So it's, you know, it can be a cruel business at times, but I really can't complain about how lucky and blessed I've been.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch your action. I was already training when you started in the thoroughbred business, and it's just been basically a meteoric rise to stardom. But it's not accidental. I mean, a lot of times people tease about you getting to the barn at 8 o'clock and all that stuff, but you work your ass off, and it's not a shocker that you are where you are today. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but when you got into the Hall of Fame, that was a whole different kettle of fish. You became like a super trainer then. Everything that you did was perfect and continues on to this day.
He's still
day.
Working. He's doing a radio interview, and he's still working.
He's semaphoring.
I just watched the owners of Opportunity. They're walking around lost.
So where's our trainer?
I'm here.
Hey, where's the action? We want some action.
Let's touch on Opportunity and Arrowgate. You're going for an unprecedented third consecutive win in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
I've been asked that. I said, what's it going to feel like? I mean, it's not going to be any feeling different than I won the first one. You know, it's going to be exciting. You know, but I, you know, this horse, Arrogate, I don't know how good he is. You know, we never let him run in his works. In his races, Bejarano rode him, never really set him down. And I was going to run him into San Diego, but then he got sick. He had a little bug. And so then I had to run him into Lyons Fair. We're going to run him into Travers. And Bejarano always said, this horse wants to go a mile and a quarter. He wants the full mile and a quarter. And he told, we're going to win the Travers. So then, so we went up there, and he had to ride American Freedom because he'd been riding them, and so riding them well. And so I didn't want to really, you know, sometimes there's a lot of politics involved here, and I got to put out fires and stuff. So, you know, these jockeys and the owner, they feel, well, why is he, you know, taking off my horse, and he's been riding them. And so I told him, you have to ride this horse. So I got Mike Smith to ride him. And so we told Mike, just, you know, he's a really, really good horse, and just let him put him on the lead, and let's see what he does. And, you know, he doesn't break that well. And the other horse is going to just, you know, took the blinkers off the other horse, American Freedom. He's going to sit. And I think, you know, I really thought he should have won the Haskell. He just had a little bad luck there. He waited too long to kick on with him. And then in it, the Sorman, brilliant move, coming over and just cutting right in front of him, just took the momentum right away from him. And so with Exaggerator, when he turned for home, I saw those fractions, and my wife is always saying, he's going too fast. But he's just he jumps so far. And he's got his head down, he's rolling. And when he turned for home, I thought, they're not going to catch this horse. And I'm looking like, from there, I quit watching him. I'm thinking, hold on for a second. give that second, let's take it all. I was even like, wow. You know, I was wowed by it. And so, he came back, and it was so funny how Mike Smith, he comes back and he goes, wow, you guys were right. He can really run. Because it was going to be a one-shot deal for Mike. He was going to ride him once, so, hey, he test drove that dude all over the ground. I told Mike, why'd you let him win by so much? He goes, hey, boss, you know, I couldn't. I look at the screen, but the sun was hitting it. I couldn't tell. Oh, yeah, right. You want to see, hey, what do you got there? He felt a little, you know, Lamborghini. Just opened it up a little bit, see what he got. But it was pretty exciting. And he still, you know, it wasn't that taxing on him, you know. So I've just taken my time. I wanted to give him a prep here, but, you know, I just thought running him against Chrome and the Awesome Again, that would be like, you know, if I'm going to run against Chrome and run that hard, let's do it for $6 million. You know, it's like a heavyweight title fight, and if he's good enough, you know. But so coming in here, you know, we feel confident that he'll run well, but I just don't know if, you know, he's really up to the beating Chrome. And how can you root against Art Sherman? You know, it's a tough, he's such a sweet man and everything. And so, but it's, you know, first or second where, you know, if he can run a decent race, and, you know, he's supposed to run second. So if he runs second, it's not going to be like the end of the world. But I think he's a deer. You know, I think he's going to be the man and have a lot of fun and win some big races. But it's just, you know, to have a horse for Judmont Farms, who's like, they're like franchise. They're like the Dallas Cowboys of Europe, you know. So makes me feel really proud that we're on that team. And, you know, it gives you a little bit of, you know, respect, you know, that they actually picked me. You know, they're easily, you know, they had Bobby Frankel. And Frankel just, you know, he was one of the greatest ever. So, you know, to sort of put me in that same category, it made me feel, you know, pretty good about it. Well, you know what? I guess I'm not that bad.
It's remarkable, Bob, that you can have the Jockey Club Gold Cup winner in your barn, and very few people are talking about him. Opportunity's been with you for a long time. and he's won over $3 million. He's done everything you've asked him. He finally gets his shot at a Breeders' Cup, and I'm, you know, realistically, I know he's going to be a longer shot than Arrogate, obviously. But do you ever just turn the corner and go pat that horse on the neck and say, "Well done"?
He's one of the favorites of the barn. He's a cute horse, but every time we walk by there, I always call him the Nibbler, you know. And so Opportunity is a horse that Mike Smith, we were talking about him. I said, "Well, we're this," and he's going to run second. He's going to run third. I always tell him, he'll run third, whatever. He just gets a piece at the end. He comes flying at the end. He always beats everybody at the pole after the wire. He's always in first. If the finish line could be there, he'd win. Like, I took him to Keeneland last year. He blew by everybody pulling up. But Mike Smith, he was telling me this a few months ago. He says, "You know, let me tell you something about Opportunity. He's going to surprise you. He's going to win a big one. He's going to get a big one one of these days." I said, "You know what, Mike? He came within an inch of winning the biggest race of his life." He says, "What race was that?" I said, "In Dubai. If that saddle would have slipped one more inch back on California Chrome, he would have started bucking, probably taking out the inside horse. That was his chance right there." But so the other day when he was riding FNX, he says, "I'm training for home." He says, "Mike says, I'm going." I said, "It looks like I can see the wire coming. My horse is running." And all of a sudden I hear a horse coming up, and he says, "I hope that's not Opportunity." And all of a sudden, he looks over and sees that. He said, "Man, what? I knew he was due for a big one." But that horse, he is really, he is doing so well. Right now, he's doing the best. You know, that race really perked him up, and he couldn't be doing any better. I mean, can he win it? I don't think so. He can beat those horses. But, you know, if something happens, if there's a pace meltdown, you know, there might be a pace meltdown or whatever, but he will be coming late, and he will light the board. That's one thing about him. He will come running. He always gets a big check. And that's why he's made $3.5 million. But he's like, we should have named him Rodney Dangerfield or something. he never gets the total respect. You know, if he was in anybody else's barn, they'd be sleeping outside his stall. You know, but he's a really nice horse to be around. And he's just solid. You can count on him. You know, he's just like that fullback that you know when you need a yard or two, give it to Hopper, you know. So that's him.
Talking with Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and for those of you watching at breederscup.com and horseracingradio.net. Bob, let me ask you about one other horse in particular in this year's Breeders' Cup, because I hope I didn't jinx you, but I picked you to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Klimt, and a horse that Jude and I saw when we were out here, beaten by Gormley last time out, but I think he turns the tables. Tell me about him.
Yeah, I really like him. I think, you know, when he won that Del Mar Futurity, it was really impressive. You know, he beat a really nice horse. Came back. I really didn't do too much with him. He was, he'd run hard, trained him light. I didn't really bear down. I wanted to get that race through him, two turns. And he got away a little slow. That day, track was really deep. And, this track has been dirt, a lot of sand. It's loose. Took a lot of dirt. He was back there. He was so far back. I gave him no chance at all. 3/8 pole, he was just so far back. And all of a sudden, he dug in and came up and ran second. Gormley, he was just gone around. He's a nice horse. Got a perfect trip and for him. So, but, you know, he has I was wanting to draw the inside, but not that inside. But I think he's, I think he has a lot of quality. I always thought when he could run two turns. So if he can just not lose, you know, break with him and stay in contention, I think he's like New Year's Day. He can just sit back there right close by and wait for something, because there's going to be something going to happen, because there's so much speed in there. So I think it's a really tough race, but that Syndergaard, I was really impressed with him. He has a lot of speed, and how far he can take it, we don't know, but I think that the you know, he's just have to get lucky on the inside and come running. But he is doing well.
Mike Smith was so excited yesterday when he got off American Gal. I mean, he couldn't say enough nice things about American Gal. She looks good in there. You're doubled up in so many races. But, you know, what do you think about her?
Well, she had those two races. She's really fast filling. I don't know if she can get the two turns. You know, we're here. You know, if it was somewhere else, I wouldn't have put her on a plane probably. But I was, when she drew the 12, I thought, well, I talked to Kaleem. I said, I don't know about running her, you know, in the 12 hole, whatever. She's got to be used up. But it's really, it's not really post position, but it's like, I said, I'm just afraid that, you know, she is fast. If she turns for home, you know how they hit that imaginary wall. You know, you just don't know until you send them two turns. So we're going to have to use her hard from the outside. She has a lot of speed. So I said, you know what, let me just have Mike Smith work her tomorrow. And I usually don't let Mike Smith work a lot of horses because he goes too fast, which he went too fast yesterday. So I said, Mike, just cruise around there. Just give me an idea. What do you think? Am I wasting my time? Well, I don't want to go up there and embarrass this filly. You know, so he came out there, put a horse in front, and she went around there in 46-1 and out in 59 and change. And I go, well, you know, he came back but she wasn't blowing, you know, she wasn't like, so I asked Mike, and so he loved her. Now, maybe he just doesn't want to be playing pool during that race or what? I don't know. I guess we'll find out, but we'll see what happens.
Which of the Baffert horses is Bodie picking to win on Friday or
Bodie
Saturday?
Bodie is so politically correct, he would never answer that. I had him up at Travers, and he knew we loved Arrogate, and I remember they were NBC, the hockey player.
Eddie Olchek.
Eddie Olchek. He was trying to get him. He wouldn't do it. He just said, no, I'm not sure. I don't care which one. I'm not sure. And I said, Bodie, it's okay. You could have just said, you know. He said, Dad, I says, these owners are going to watch this show, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. So I'm not
smart kid.
Smart kid, yeah. He's going to run for president someday.
That wouldn't be so bad.
We're training him very young.
I might give him a write-in vote this year. Yeah. Bodie for president.
Bob, his dad could not run for president. Too many open mics. Open mic.
Bob Baffert with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, as always, you're always very gracious with your time and really appreciate you stopping by on what
I really had nothing to do right now.
I figured just
nervous energy.
It's just like Mike Smith with the juvenile.
Yeah, you saw me just wandering around there. Look at poor Bob. Nobody's talking to him. He's by himself.
You've had those ups and downs where nobody talks to you, but you always talk to us, and we appreciate it.
Thank
That's
you.
Right. Well, you guys have a great show. I love listening to you guys, and, you know, you bring a lot. I love your interviews when you interview different trainers and stuff like that because, you know, a lot of people don't know a lot about us that we're – when they see us, usually when they see us on camera, we're like 100 things are going through our minds, and we're – you know, you're edgy and stuff like that. So I've talked to one of the trainers today, and he was, you know, he had a problem there. There, you know, you've got like a foot, you know, foot bruise or something. You know, there's always something going on. I go, well, how's it going today? I said, well, I was in those situations yesterday where I didn't know whether there's a fire coming. Do I take my valuables out of the house or just get out there with a hose and just try to fight it? So that's what we're going through all week long.
Hall of Famer Bob Baffert with Mike Jude and the guys out at California earlier this week. Another big contingent of Baffert runners. He took a little blow in the Breeders' Cup sprint when it was announced that Lord Nelson, his crack sprinter, would have to come out. He's battling an infection. He hoped it would have cleared up by the time race day came today, and just going to have to miss the Breeders' Cup sprint. Baffert looking for a record fifth, Breeders' Cup sprint. He owns the record now. His 30 Slews kicked things off in 92. He won back-to-back sprints in 07 and 08 with Midnight Loot, and then again in 2013 with Secret Circle. Bob Baffert looking for win number 5 in the Breeders' Cup sprint later on today with Drafong. Of course, the big one as Arrogate tries to topple California Chrome in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Maybe one possible legend topping another possible legend. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
By Tale of Two Cities out of Cindy Lou, Cougar II was a Chilean-bred racehorse foaled in 1966. Tall and muscular, with a regal presence, Cougar had a long tail that touched the ground. His thrilling late-running style captured the hearts of fans everywhere he raced. He began his career in his native country, but was imported to the United States by Santa Anita's famed track announcer Joe Hernandez in 1970. Defeated in his first two U.S. starts, Cougar then won a race on the dirt, followed by one on the turf, catching the eye of future Hall of Fame trainer Charlie Whittingham. After much wheeling and dealing, he was finally purchased by Florsheim Shoes heiress Mary F. Jones for $125,000 and put in Whittingham's care. Cougar won his first stakes for his new connections at Del Mar, the 1970 Escondido Handicap. In 1971, he won the prestigious San Juan Capistrano Handicap at Santa Anita, defeating the great Fort Marcy, who he would defeat later again that year in the Ford Pinto Invitational Turf Handicap at Belmont Park. The following year, Cougar won the Century Handicap at Hollywood Park and the Carlton F. Burke and Oak Tree Invitational, both at Santa Anita. Those victories in the famous All Red Silks cemented him as the champion male turf horse, garnering him an Eclipse Award. Often ridden by the incomparable Bill Shoemaker, Cougar would customarily pause in the post parade at least a couple of times with his famous jockey and face towards the grandstand for a round of applause from his plethora of fans. 1973 saw Cougar finally win the historic Santa Anita Handicap after finishing second in that race the two previous years. He retired at the end of the season with over $1 million in earnings, making him the first foreign-bred horse to achieve that milestone in the United States. At stud, Cougar initially stood at Spendthrift Farm. He was later transferred to Stone Farm, where he sired his most famous offspring, Gato del Sol, who won the 1982 Kentucky Derby. During his stallion career, Cougar produced 24 stakes winners. In June of 1989, he died at the age of 23. Recognizing his talent and popularity, the Historic Review Committee of the National Museum of Racing's Hall of Fame selected Cougar II as a Hall of Fame inductee in 2006. A true legend of the turf, Del Mar Racetrack has renamed the Escondido Handicap the Cougar II Handicap in his honor.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair Strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair Strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect. Protect, perform.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
power.
But Tapizar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapizar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapizar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapizar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay. And Tapizar, a sterling performance today.
Gainsway Stallion Tapizar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapizar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at two, went wire to wire to win the grade three Sham Stakes at three, and was a runaway winner of the grade two San Fernando and grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at four. Tapizar is currently ranked number four on the freshman sire list with two more exciting two-year-old winners in Japan.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on Breeders' Cup Saturday on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld. Earlier this week, Alistair Donald from the International Racing Bureau sat down with our award-winning HRRN team out at the Great Race Place to talk about the Euros, and gave you the stat a little earlier as well, but remarkable number here. 57 races overall won by foreign-based runners, and a remarkable, I mean remarkable, 46 of the 106 races that have been run on the turf have been won by a foreign-based runner. So you have to pay very close attention when they ship in over the pond. In fact, Aidan O'Brien with the powerful Coolmore contingent, Aidan O'Brien led all trainers with a Baker's Dozen, 13 pre-entries this year. After flirting with a run against the boys in the Breeders' Cup Classic and would have been her first dirt start, they decided to take Found and defend her turf crown from last season. She beat Golden Horn last year. She'll have to beat Flincher and some others this year. But enough from me. Let's hear what International Racing Bureau's Alistair Donald has to say about the Euros.
Alistair Donald is with the International Racing Bureau. He has been with us every single year on this program since 2005. The streak continues here in 2016. Alistair, good to see you again, my friend.
Mike, it's great to be back.
Yeah, happy to have you on board with us as always. And I always tell people that, look, if you're handicapping the Europeans and you want to know how they fit into the picture, you have to listen to this interview. This is one that you can't miss.
Well, you might be being a bit overkind there, Mike, but the other thing is you've got to remember this is a Tuesday. I might change my mind by Friday.
Is that allowed? Well, I believe there were a total of, what, roughly 27 to 30 European horses that were entered yesterday into the Breeders' Cup races, and some good ones. We heard that race clip coming out of the break of Found winning the Breeders' Cup Turf last year. She decides to go in that spot again this year as opposed to the Breeders' Cup Classic where she was cross-entered.
Yeah, I think that's there was a little rumor that she might be going in for the Classic. I personally am very happy to see her in the turf, defending her turf title. I really think that, this is a very, very good Classic this year. And I really think that she would have been up against it in that. I'm very happy to see her defending her title on the turf. It's not going to be easy for her because I think this track will be a little bit quicker. She probably appreciated the slightly softer track at Keeneland last year. It's a very deep race.
How does she come into this year's race as opposed to what we saw last year when she made it to Keeneland?
Well, she is remarkable. She is just so tough. And she had a string of seconds, but she hasn't run a bad race all year. And then, of course, her crowning glory was winning the Arc, which was just a spectacular performance on ground that was pretty quick that day. So she can handle the ground, but she's got a stable companion, Highland Reel, who ran second to her, who is a King George winner in his own right. He's a very, very high-class horse, too. And, you know, you've got a home horse or a US-trained horse, ex-European Flincher, who has done nothing wrong this year. He got beaten in his last, but on unsuitably soft turf. We know that he needs a fast track. We know that he's going to love it here. So, you know, it's not about just about the Aidan O'Brien pair. It's a very, very deep race.
With the Coolmore-O'Brien pair, I looked last night at the past performances and found after winning the Arc, comes back and runs back again a couple of weeks later in the Champion Stakes. So if someone looks at that and says, she's had a tough campaign and there's been a lot asked of her, any reason that anyone should be concerned about the fact that she's actually had a couple of very big recent tough races under her belt coming into this race?
Yeah, I think it can be a concern, but all you have to do is look back and see what she did last year, and she did pretty much the same, and she handled it. So, I mean, she is super tough.
Alistair Donald, International Racing Bureau, joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
If these guys don't have an immediate question, I want to...
I don't think they do.
Here's
you don't well, learn anything Kurt, by talking.
We're used to sitting next to you, so we just figured you were going to continue on.
I want you to reassure me on something regarding the mile. Okay, Lamotto. I remember a year ago coming into the mile, make-believe ended up going off the post-time favorite, like around 5-2. He had won a Group 1 in France before coming over. So, okay, make-believe ends up, he had kind of a tough start, actually made up some ground but ran fifth last year in the mile. So Lamotto wins the same Group 1. The Prix de la Forêt. So, I love Lamotto. I mean, this horse seems to get in good position. He seems to strike at the right time. Can you reassure me, however, that we're not going to have a repeat of what happened last year with Make Believe?
I can't reassure you, but I don't think it'll happen. I think Lamotto is the real deal. I think he will, this course, this trip, everything will suit him, and I expect a big, big run from him.
He was a bit of a handful this morning training. I mean, his rider definitely. But I mean, I'm guessing that's typical of Lamotto, and he's in a different setting.
I was talking to Amy, his girl, who was on riding in this morning last night, and she said he is going to be on his toes when he comes out on the track this morning. So I wasn't particularly surprised about that. There were one or two others of the Europeans that I saw out on the track this morning that were even more on their toes, and they might have been a slight concern. But I expected that, and I was not put off by it.
Who were the couple that you saw this morning that maybe threw up a red flag there?
Well, I wouldn't read too much into it, but Mondialiste, who is a horse I think that is going to creep under the wire, under the radar a bit in the turf, was a little bit warm, and so was Joseph O'Brien's two-year-old Intricately. They got down to the gap a little bit early and maybe couldn't get straight out on the track, so they had to do a few turns, and I think that got them a little bit wound up, but it was nothing major.
Joseph O'Brien, another great story surrounding this year's Breeders' Cup. Here's somebody that came to the Breeders' Cup as a jockey riding for his father, Aidan O'Brien, and now here training horses in the Breeders' Cup. Pretty cool.
Wins a Breeders' Cup race as a jockey, is now in his first season training. Wins a Group 1 with Intricately, beating his father. And he's now out here trying to do it again. No, it's a fantastic story. I must talk to his mother, Anne Maria Bryan, and see where her loyalties are. She's out here already this week with Joseph. And Aidan only got in last night, so I don't know where the family loyalty is.
I think
it's probably a blurred line.
It's going to be like a mom watching her kids playing a football game. One's on one team, one's on the other, and she wears a jersey that is split down the middle.
Something like that.
She may have
something
the same
like
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. She might be happy either way.
Alistair, you mentioned Mondialiste, who goes in the turf this year. This is a horse who ran very respectably in the mile a year ago.
Yeah.
Do you like what they've done with this horse? Because he's had so many races in his career at a mile, steps up to 10 furlongs, bam, runs a big race in the Arlington Million. And how about in the turf at 12 furlongs? Do you like the game plan? It's kind of new territory for him.
It is new territory, but I like what they've been doing with the horse all year. I really like the horse going into Arlington after it ran 10 furlongs at York in its prep race before then, and I think I probably didn't put you off backing Mondialiste in the Arlington memory.
No, not at all. That was a single of the day. When Alistair talks, I listen.
Going on from there, I think that his latest run in Keeneland was an indication that he probably can no longer win at a mile in a race as competitive as Breeder Cup, and I think running him in the turf is absolutely the right call.
Who are some of the other European contenders that you're going to have your eye on Friday and Saturday afternoon?
Well, I think you would be discounting Aidan O'Brien's two-year-olds at your peril, and I have a little bit of trouble sorting them out in terms of whether I like Roly Poly, whether I like Hydrangea, whether I like Lancaster Bomber. You take it that Ryan Moore is riding the first string choice, but I don't discount Jamie Heffernan's rides. I think Lancaster Bomber's run behind Churchill was a great performance at Newmarket. That gives him every right to be very seriously considered here.
Alistair Donner, International Racing Bureau, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, he's been joining us on the program since 2005 to talk Europeans. We mentioned Joseph O'Brien being a great story on the human side, along with his dad, Aidan O'Brien, who entered more horses into the Breeders' Cup than any other trainer. How about the other human stories from horses that are coming from overseas? Any others that stood out to you?
Well, I think the Joseph Aidan O'Brien story is the big one.
Yeah.
I think the Mondialiste story is a story in itself, given that what this horse is trying to do, what it has accomplished so far, there's just so many things I'm looking forward to seeing. There's many horses you haven't even covered here. I think Alice Springs is an improving type in the mile. I think she's a very interesting candidate. I like a horse that's been running all year and has been just sliding under the radar, not necessarily winning, and I think will slide under the radar here, and that is one of Sir Michael Stout's in the filly and mare turf, Queen's Trust. If you look at her run when she was second in the Nassau behind Minding, that was an outstanding performance, and Minding, one of Aidan's, not here, but one of the great fillies of the 2016 season back home. And she ran a very honest race last time up, over a mile and a half, coming back to 10 furlongs. I think Queen's Trust has been placed all year and might just be ready to run a big one.
On the video monitors here at Santa Anita, they're showing La Force, the German bred, who is on the track now. What can you tell us about La Force?
Very little. Slipped straight under my radar.
That's why he's the best. That's why we bring him on, for that kind of insight.
What about, you mentioned Roly Poly earlier. Do you think the 13 hole is going to be a problem for her, being so far out there?
I find it difficult to split them. I think in terms of what they've achieved, they're pretty near the top of the heap back at home, and I think they're legitimate contenders. The other horse that I find interesting is, I don't know whether we can still call him a European, is continuing his career in the States, is Spainberg, and he impressed me an awful lot when I saw him win at Newmarket.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot before we let you go, Alistair. This is always fun to do. If you were going to pick the most likely European contender to win a Breeders' Cup race, who is it?
I have to stay with Found.
Defend her title.
Defend her title.
There you have it, Alistair Donald, International Racing Bureau, always stopping by with us here, always gracious with his time. Appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the Breeders' Cup, and we're going to see you again relatively soon.
Can I make another selection come Friday?
You certainly can. Absolutely.
Alistair Donald thinks Found is going to be the Euro that gets it done here at the Breeders' Cup. She'll try to defend her turf title against Flincher, her stablemate, Highland Reel, and all the rest. Time for a break here on the Equine Forum. When we come back, more Breeders' Cup talk. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Bred for Greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs' Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusie Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the First Crop Sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs' Creative Cause. Think about it.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here. If you're in Kentucky and you love wine, you need to experience Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. Just a short drive from Lexington, Lover's Leap is one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. Stop in for an educational wine tasting or do what I love most. Simply kick back and relax on their wraparound porch while enjoying the view with a glass of their exceptional wine. And I can tell you, their wines are the perfect fit for all of your farm and company parties. So stop by for a visit today. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Millridge has associated with the very best clients for over 50 years and since 2000 has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners. The Millridge consignment at Keeneland November offers another quality group of mares, including some of Judmont Farm's fine pedigrees. Hip 242, 338, 341, and 362 are all can't miss in Book 1. Also, Book 1 includes the well-bred Bureau de Change, Hip 375, from John and Jerry Ammerman. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And Songbird comes off the far turn with the advantage by four lengths. Mike Smith has not asked her for a thing. Meanwhile, John Velasquez getting after Rachel's Valentina, begging her to wake up and respond. Nickname is in third, and Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole. Has the lead by six. Rachel's Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field. Rachel's Valentina was home second. Dothraki Queen made a late run to third, and then Nickname was fourth. 1 minute, 42 and 3/5 seconds.
Our own Kurt Becker on the call. It was last year's juvenile fillies out at Keeneland that made Songbird a perfect 4 for 4. She was 11 for 11 going into the distaff yesterday. Who knows how it turns out. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld. We're recording this Friday morning with the busy Breeders' Cup weekend schedule ahead, so we do not have any Friday results for you, obviously, but I'm sure it was a great one. It was the mother of all distaffs yesterday between, scheduled to be between Songbird, Beholder, and Stellar Wind. Great action coming your way later on this afternoon. 9 Breeders' Cup races. You'll hear them all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our coverage starts at 3. It goes till 9 o'clock. You can keep it tuned to Sirius 93, XM 93, and, of course, streaming live worldwide at horseracingradio.net for our Spanish-speaking friends. And for your Spanish-speaking friends, let them know that they can head over to our sister station, HRRN and Espanol.com, to hear El Potro, Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Villalma, Hall of Famer Ramon Dominguez, and South American racetrack announcer Jose Arturo for all of the action, soup to nuts, in Spanish, again from 3 to 9 at HRRN and Espanol.com. Thanks to Bob Baffert and Alistair Donald for stopping by with the gang out in California this week. Mike Smith, Dale Romans, and Joe Withy coming up in hour number 2. Right now we have to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the sticks. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter.
It is Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dance is still coming. And here she comes to the outside. Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
At the eighth hole, Songbird begins to stride away. Karina B a second, Catherine Sophia laboring back in third. Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back, everyone, to hour number 2 of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, holding things down here at HRN in the Big Apple. As Mike Penner and Jude Feld, I'm filling in for those two gentlemen. They are out west at the great race place Santa Anita, ready to bring you day 2 of our Breeders' Cup coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, of course, that Breeders' Cup coverage brought to you by visitbarbados.org. One man who is very happy it's Breeders' Cup time is Hall of Fame rider Mike Smith. 22, a record 22 Breeders' Cup wins in his career. He'll look to add to that total this weekend. He's missed the Breeders' Cup, and he's the only rider to win all 7 of the original Breeders' Cup races. That's right, folks. For those of you who are new to the sport out there, way back in 1984 when this Breeders' Cup was first conceived, there were only 7 races: the Juvenile Fillies, the Mile, the Turf, the Sprint, the Distaff, and, of course, the Breeders' Cup Classic. And Mike will have a say in a lot of those races today, perhaps most importantly in the Breeders' Cup Classic, as he'll pilot Arrogate, who he rode to a record-setting performance in the Travers at Saratoga this past summer. He ran the fastest mile and a quarter in the history of the Old Spa, which has been standing for well over 150 years. That's his big bullet to fire on Saturday, as Arrogate figures to be second choice behind the one and only California Chrome. The gang caught up with Mike Smith earlier this week out at Santa Anita.
We have been sitting here waxing poetically about Mike Smith, and he just happens to show up on the set here. Mike, happy to have you on board, my friend. Always nice to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You must have heard us. You took your helmet off.
I had to get on one, the 2-year-old I ride in the juvenile for Baffert. I just had a breeze here a half a mile. First time I've been on her, I was impressed.
Yeah, very impressed.
That's good to know coming in.
I'm telling you, I mean, she worked beautiful. I know it's just a half a mile, and the good ones are supposed to work that way, but, I mean, she really worked nice.
How about that, Mike? We'll get to the main horses here in just a moment. We were talking about, you know, Mike Smith. You know, he's accomplished so much in his career, and of course, we'll elaborate on that in a little bit here, but you still have to come out and get on horses in the morning, right? You're a Hall of Fame jockey. You've won over 5,300 races, but there's always that next songbird around the corner, isn't there?
Yeah, this ain't work, though, coming out and getting on these kind. And this is, you enjoy it, as you well know. I mean, you rode for many years. I mean, it's fun getting on these kind, man. That was a treat. That made my morning getting on her.
We were just talking about the fact that yesterday in the press conference after the post draw, you were asked about what it's like at this point in your career to be able to get aboard these type of horses and compete in these types of races, and you made the comment that, well, these horses certainly keep me going a lot longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, they really do, and, you know, we talk about, you know, reflecting back. I don't try to look back. I got so much going forward right now, and I'm so happy to, you know, have the opportunities that I've got. You know, we got to admit it, you know, at this stage in my career, I mean, and I'm not the only one. I mean, look at Gary Stevens and a few of us that are still going pretty strong, you know, at this stage. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty neat. Luckily for myself, I took care of myself pretty good at a young age, and physically I'm in really good shape. You know, I have my little cricks here and there, but other than that, man, I'm really
join
good.
The club.
And,
look at those guns. Look at the guns on him.
just doing well, you know, and getting the chance to ride the kind of horses I'm riding, man. I mean, this is a rider's dream. As Jeff, you know, I mean, man, we all dream of, you know, I used to sit back and get the opportunity to watch, you know, McCarron and Pat Day and all these guys just ride the good ones. And although Pat liked to ride a lot, you know, he liked to ride every race all the time. I'm not keen on every race, but, you know,
I think I would have followed your path.
Three, four, yeah, you know, a day and get the chance. You know, I don't ride a whole lot, but, man, I wouldn't trade places with anybody.
You know, Jeff just made the comment before you came over that it appears, anyways, from watching you ride now, that you're having fun each and every time you go onto the track with a horse. Are you having as much fun now as you've ever had at any point in your career?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, man. I've learned to, you know, as you get older, you learn to appreciate things. I think when you're young, you know, you're just out there trying to win everything there is to win, and you're ever just living on the edge. And, you know, now, man, I mean, I truly appreciate a good horse and what it takes to get one and to get one there, you know, all the preparation. And you just learn to appreciate things more. And you never stop learning in this, I don't think in any sport really or anything in life, period, but especially racing, man. Each horse is an individual. They're all different, and you can never conquer the game. So it keeps you interested all the time, you know.
Mike, we talked earlier, Jude and I, on the earlier show about how it's so unique in horse racing that the athletes, the human athletes, share a locker room, which is unlike any other sport, right? The competing teams go to different locker rooms, and so it's, you know, you have a lot of friends in the jockey's room, and some guys you're close to, some guys you aren't, and you have a weekend with such importance associated with Breeders' Cup races. Describe to us a little bit, what's the experience like in the jockey's room in terms of leading up to some of those races? Is there a lot of conversation? Is there discussion about strategy? Are you holding everything close to the vest? You know, how much of that goes on? How much of that discussion goes on?
I think there's a little of all of it, you know, Jeff, but in saying all that too, we're a big family, believe it or not. You know, until someone crosses over on you or something like that. But we really are, you know, and it's kind of great to see everybody, see the guys, you know, from other countries, you know, from come in, and we just kind of get a chance to visit and talk. And, you know, and to be honest with you, at this point in the horses' careers, everyone pretty much knows who they are and what they are. I don't think there's any big surprises. I mean, you might see a little something that might jump out at you, that might, you'd be shocked. Well, I never seen that out of that horse, or I wonder why they did that. But at this point, man, they're pretty much straightforward, and we all kind of know who they are and what their style is and what their tactics are. And other than maybe some of the two-year-olds that you might see a little something different happen with. But with the older horses, I think we all pretty much know who they are, and we all respect each other. And you're great friends, and you all hug and shake hands when you're in there. Then you walk out, and man,
put on the boxing gloves.
Yeah, it's time to play, and you learn to kind of. Although there's times where it gets a little heated when you get back in there, but I mean, all in all, we get along pretty good.
So you mentioned, Mike, when you first sat down that you've got the mount for trainer Bob Baffert and the juvenile fillies on American Gal. So here you've got a two-year-old filly who's made only two prior starts. This will be the first time that you ride her. She drew to the far outside, post position 12. How much did you learn just this morning? In the brief time that you were on this filly, what were you able to learn, and how will that pay off for you in that particular race?
Well, honestly, with her this morning, I actually got gained a lot of confidence. I actually think I have a shot going in now where I didn't really know her much. I didn't know if she was just a speed filly and if she could really get the distance. And it's hard to tell just going a half a mile. But, gosh, she was so classy.
She's
so
on the
monitor. There you are right there, Mike.
I mean, so rateable. Look at her. We put a horse out two in front of her, and she just set off him. She just waited for me to ask her when to. And the good thing about her is she's naturally quick, although she didn't draw very well being way out there. She should, you know, hopefully she jumps well, and she should put herself in a really good spot, if not on the lead. And she turns off nice. I mean, she would have waited for me if we went around there again. And I barely just bowed over on her, about just past the eighth point. She picked it up just really, really nice and galloped out and came back great. A lot of energy.
Guy looks okay on that horse.
Yeah, I think that Smith guy is going to do okay in this sport.
As long as you stay standing up like that.
Let's talk about a couple of the horses you're going to be aboard that are going to have a bit more experience than what we see with American Gal, who, again, being shown on the video monitors now with that work earlier this morning here at Santa Anita. And that's, of course, Songbird in the Distaff and then Arrowgate coming up in the classic, Travers winner Arrowgate. I love the fact that you rode Arrowgate's sire, Unbridled Song, to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile back in 1995. Look back on that day for a minute. How special was that?
Oh, that was a great, great, great race. He actually stumbled leaving the gate. Might have been a blessing in disguise, really, after it all turned out, because, man, there was a lot more speed than I actually thought I'd be in front on the lead by myself, actually, that day. And he stumbled, and I was, after looking back out, I was glad he did, because they went really, really quick. And, I mean, I'd have been in a you know, head-and-head battle with about four others. There was about four or five, and it was the first time I got him to relax so good after he did that. He was just off the bridle, just set right in behind him, and I was able to cut the corner and get through in between split horses heading for home. And that wasn't no bad horse on the outside of him. With Hennessy was on the outside of him. So if you go back and look at some of the names in that juvenile, there were some pretty nice horses in that race.
So how about to be aboard his son now, Arrowgate, trying to knock off California Chrome and everybody else in that classic? It's so rare to have that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, when you're young, you used to hear the old guys, well, you know, I used to ride her mother, or I used to ride her father and all that, and now I'm one of those guys.
It's okay if you're riding Arrowgate.
Yeah, especially when you're you know, I got to ride a son of Holy Bull and win the Kentucky Derby with him, so wouldn't it be cool to ride a son of Unbridled Song and win the Classic? That'd be pretty neat.
How about that?
You know, that'd be something you'd put the son and the father up on your wall, you know, somewhere. That'd be pretty cool to do.
That is unique. Well, you mentioned that, and all the good horses you've ridden. I mean, do you oftentimes, just when you're by yourself, sit back and reflect on Azari, Zenyatta, Ms. Direction? I mean, all the collection of incredible horse that you've been on and some of the races that you've won. It's got to be gratifying to take a look back at that career and imagine those horses. I mean, so many good ones.
You just sitting here talking, you know, now is when I really look back on it, when people really bring it up. You know, and it'll happen through conversation, you know, sitting at a restaurant or having lunch somewhere, somebody bring up
somebody's favorite horse.
Yeah, someone's favorite horse or whatever. It's pretty cool to look back on. And if I didn't ride him, I probably was in the race, you know, maybe. So it's all great. I really don't sit around, though, and think about all of them. You know, just blessed that I got to ride them. I think there'll be a time, a day where I'll be that guy at the bar. So, man, we got to hear this story. Every one of them is going to start with the first one. And he's gonna go, I can't wait to be that guy.
Back to Arrowgate.
But it's going to still a few more years away.
Back to Arrowgate and that win in the Traverse for just a minute. You know, I remember when you won with Holy Bull, and I was sitting in Section X of the grandstand at Saratoga, watched you flash by. Concern was making the run at him. Then this year we were hosting the coverage of the Traverse Stakes, and I sat close to the finish line and watched you draw off with Arrowgate. How impressive was that win in the Traverse Stakes?
Well, I mean, it's the fastest mile and a quarter ever, you know, at Saratoga, which in itself, I don't know how many other mile and quarters they run besides the Traverse there. hard to say. So maybe, you know, most of the time it's probably just, you know, three-year-olds that are running the mile and a quarter there. So it's not like, you know, I don't think Secretariat ran a mile and a quarter there at Saratoga. A few of the, you know, all-time greats. But still, I mean, you look back at some of the horses that have won the Travers, and for him to have been the fastest Travers with more in the tank.
That's the crazy thing, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that's crazy is you know, I asked him heading for home, and he literally took off. Like, that don't happen going a mile and a quarter. I mean, usually you just maintain what you have, or you make get a little bit out of them. You know, you just try and maintain that and just keep what they got going forward and not mess that part up. Like, he literally took off. And I looked over in the big Teletron, and I was like, holy mackerel, what am I doing? I got to slow down. I was very shocked that he had opened up that much on him. And then galloping out, the outrider went to pick me up, and he took off again. That's when I knew he had any more energy left. You know, I mean, he literally took off. I had to tell him, no, I'll get him stopped, you know. So where he gets that stamina from, to me, is the most impressive part about him. I mean, there's a lot of fast horses out there, but he's fast with a lot of stamina, which is really incredible, you know.
One of the things that's remarkable about Arrogate is he's had five prior career starts. And we sat down.
Four.
Look through the.
Right? That was his fourth race, wasn't it?
Might have been. It was either.
This will be his fifth.
It was okay, which goes to the point even further. This will actually be his sixth. This will be his sixth start.
Where did I miss the one at? I missed one somewhere.
But Mike,
who's counting? You keep winning the Travers.
There's
like
a big
that.
One coming up.
When we look, when we look back at the Breeders' Cup Classic, it is very difficult, if not impossible, to find a horse who's ever won that race with that few prior starts. I think maybe Curlin had something like eight. Byron, eight or nine starts. Don't know if anybody's ever come into this race with five or fewer prior starts and won this race. Anybody who's out there saying, ooh, as talented as he is, boy, that's a big task. What can you tell us to reassure folks who might be skeptical on that front?
I'm just like him. I was going into the Travers. I thought, man, you know, I know they like him a lot. I mean, the one hole, man, he's only run four times. I got it right this time. And, you know, thinking, man, it's a mile and a quarter, first time running a stake. Geez, and all these
had to ship.
Horses. Yeah, I had to ship, you know. Never been anywhere. I mean, and then he did what he did. You know, once in a decade, man, one will come along like that that just beats all the odds and is just better than all the things that aren't supposed to be aren't supposed to be. I mean, you know, he's supposed to, you know, be a more seasoned horse. But in saying that, too, you know, the way Bob trains, man, he gets these things so ready, man. This horse is, he's fit, he's ready. These are mini drills in the morning. They're mini races. I mean, he's practicing with pads on, man. I mean, they practice with pads on. They play, you know. So it ain't like he's just coming in, you know, just lightly trained or, you know, lightly raced. Even though he is lightly raced, I mean, he's you've seen his works. I mean, they gallop out. He's throwing some numbers up there, man.
Speaking of his work, I mean, we watched him here yesterday, and he looks like poetry in motion. The efficiency of his stride, it's almost as if he's just, his feet barely come off the ground, and he's floating. I mean, he's...
The good ones do that.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he just looks so fluid.
And Massachusetts, they've been making this racetrack look lightning fast, and it's not.
Yeah, talk about Songbird for a minute. We haven't touched on her yet. Going in the distaff, the inside, different scenario.
I mean, I don't think you'd mind it. Would you tell you wouldn't mind it going a mile and eighth here?
Not at all.
With her speed, I mean, you know, good Lord's willing, she jumps well like she's been doing. And if given the opportunity, she just let her do what she does. And, you know, she's never been one that I've worried about going too fast with. I mean, it's kind of better for her. She likes to get in that high cruising speed. I'm never looking to get away with something like, oh, I got to get away with a 24. Or, you know, she runs fast and she keeps running. Again, there's another horse talking about their mechanics. Just no waste of it. It's like their feet don't come up off the ground. It's so smooth, so easy. Their backing gets up way up underneath them, and it's just always push. You never feel like you get long. If you understand what I'm trying to say, it's sometimes like a weenie dog, you know, they get long on you when you start to ask them that they can't get their backing up underneath them quick enough to push. So they kind of get long on you, and you feel like you gotta help them. And these kind of horses, man, they get up underneath you so quick. I think that's the difference is the mechanics. You know, seems like
the nice thing about her too is even if somebody decides to blast off from the outside of you, she's fine sitting off, right off the pace.
Yeah, she's done it. I mean, especially her last race, I think she showed that she would relax really well. She was actually I could have took her even further back. But I mean, off of paper and knowing all the other ones, I mean, if the race runs, I mean, you know she's going to run fast. They're not worried about me getting away with something. I mean, they respect her. They know she's going to run quick, and she's going to. I'm not going to. I ain't going to slow her down going in that first turn. I know that.
Talking to the Hall of Famer, Mike Smith.
Let her do her thing, you know.
Here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Jimmy Johns. Mike, just about 30 seconds or so left. My last question to you. Have you ever had to get fully to the bottom of Songbird yet?
You know, I've asked her at different places, you know, 5/16th pole to the quarter pole, maybe the quarter pole to the 3/16th pole. That's been about it, honestly. And the last eighth of a mile, I haven't had to really ask her. So will she have another gear? Will she maintain? She's maintained, you know, what she's been able to the gap that she's been able to put in between them. As far as the three-year-olds go, will she be able to do that with older horses? I mean, we don't know. But it feels like there's something there. It feels like when I have, you know, tapped her or asked her a little bit, man, I mean, she's underneath me like now. So I would have to believe that there is there and there is more there, and she's ready for this, you know.
Well, Mikey, you're a class act, and I mentioned all the success you've had. We've talked about it a lot throughout the program here this morning. Always a gentleman, always willing to come on the air with us. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
My friend.
Yeah, nice being on. I appreciate
best
it.
Best of
thank
luck.
You guys.
Yeah, good
thank
luck.
You, thank
safe
you.
Travels, too. Amen. Safe trip. All right, Mike Smith here on Breeders' Cup Countdown. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back with more. We're live.
The one and only Mike Smith, the all-time leader in Breeders' Cup wins with 22. He'll look to add to that total this weekend here. Well, not here. I'm in Aqueduct. Out at Santa Anita. The Great Race Place hosts the Breeders' Cup for the ninth time. A record 9 trips out to Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup. It's time now for this morning's edition of the Bloodhorse News Update and a look at the top headlines from Bloodhorse.com. McLaughlin chooses Maddie for Lady Shipman. A neck away from Breeders' Cup glory only a year ago, trainer Kieran McLaughlin has opted not to run Lady Shipman in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint a second time in favor of the November 5th Grade 3 Senator Ken Maddie Stakes at Santa Anita Park. Both stakes are over the unique downhill turf course, and Lady Shipman could have drawn into the $1 million turf sprint because of the injury and scratch of Soudois November 3rd, but McLaughlin chose the race for Philly Saturday. Her last four defeats are against Colts, and she beats Phillies every time, McLaughlin said of Lady Shipman, who was edged by Mongolian Saturday in last year's turf sprint from Keeneland. It was 2-1 in the Maddie, or 15-1 in the turf sprint. It wasn't easy, but we decided to run against the Phillies. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Bloodhorse News Update. Bloodhorse Magazine is the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, and more. If you're not reading Bloodhorse, we've got to change that. Don't miss another issue. Sign up today at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. With Soudois coming out and Lady Shipman opting to run against the Phillies in the Maddie, it's going to allow the number 16 Green Mask into the field for trainer Brad Cox. So Green Mask, who just missed to a lot in the Elusive Quality back at Belmont in the spring. They set a course record that day. They went 7 furlongs and 119 and some change. Green Mask going to be able to draw in to that turf sprint field. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the turf sprint and some of the other grass races on the Breeders' Cup card this afternoon out at Santa Anita. Again, you'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Sirius XM 93 from 3 to 9 p.m. Eastern, and over at our sister network, HRN en Español, you'll hear Roberto Rodriguez, El Potro, and all of his team covering the races exclusively in Spanish, all in Spanish at hrnenespanol.com. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti,
The 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million is now a classic producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Digs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Digs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Digs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Digs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Digs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dray Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits. Dray Fong rolls home in the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion Stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
A Grade 1 winner at 2 and fastest winner of the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity in nearly 20 years.
Into Mischief wins the Cash Call Futurity!
The sire of 3 Kentucky Derby colts from his first 2 crops, including...
Golden Sense, the more they asked, the more he gave.
The Louisiana Derby to the Louisiana Bred, Vickers in Trouble!
Into Mischief's biggest and best book of 2-year-olds is coming in 2016. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Millridge Raising and Selling Racehorses. Millridge has associated with the very best clients for over 50 years and since 2000 has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners. The Millridge consignment at Keeneland November offers another quality group of mares, including some of Judmont Farm's fine pedigrees. Hip 242, 338, 341, and 362 are all can't miss in Book 1. Also, Book 1 includes the well-bred Bureau de Change, Hip 375, from John and Jerry Ammerman. Millridge Raising and Selling Racehorses.
Racing fans, come see history in the making today at Santa Anita as superstar California bred California Chrome takes on the world in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic to be run at a mile and a quarter. Come early on Saturday as admission gates open at 8 a.m. First live race post time is at 10:25, and in addition to the Classic, which will be run as the 12th and final race, we'll have 8 other Grade 1 Breeders' Cup events. Santa Anita Park, proud host of the Breeders' Cup World Championships for a record 9th time.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It's Nyquist with the lead. Nyquist in front, chased by Swipe. Nyquist to take it.
Nyquist, the son of Uncle Mo, dominated last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile, capping off a perfect 2-year-old campaign before going on to win the Kentucky Derby at 3. And that winning effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. For more than 4 decades, breeders have sought a 2-year-old colt who could go undefeated and win 3 Grade 1s on dirt. Nyquist became the first unbeaten 3-time Grade 1 winning juvenile since 1974, and the first to win 3 juvenile Grade 1s on dirt since 1984. An undefeated champion at 2 with those 3 Grade 1s, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, undefeated in 8 starts when winning the Kentucky Derby at 3, and the first champion 2-year-old to win the Derby undefeated since the great Triple Crown winner, Seattle Slough. To learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And the leaders are bearing down on Shining Copper. Golden Horn, 3 lengths away. The Pizza Man coming. Red Rifle on the outside. Big Blue Kitten is there, swinging wide off the far turn. Outside of Red Rifle, Golden Horn and Found go 1-2 off the turn. Big Blue Kitten trying to rally down the far outside to catch Golden Horn. Found! What a valiant effort from this filly. She's got a head in front. Golden Horn is second. Down to the line, Big Blue Kitten third. Found had been chasing Golden Horn. Found the best today.
Our own Kurt Becker on the call. Found, after a brief flirtation with the Breeders' Cup Classic, back to defend her turf title against Flincher entry mate, well, stable mate, if you will, Highland Reel, and another 9 in the Breeders' Cup turf. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld, who are out at the Great Race Place getting you ready for all of our Saturday Breeders' Cup action presented by VisitBarbados.org, all nine Breeders' Cup races. And if you're out at Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup on this fine Saturday, don't forget to stop by one of our black and gold kiosks and pick up a live sports radio. It allows you to tune in to our broadcast of the Saturday Breeders' Cup races as long as you are on site at Santa Anita. So you just put the radio on, tune in, and go about your day. It's a nice little safety net to have. You can hear all of our analysis, selections, exclusive interviews, races, everything there, right there on your live sports radio. So find us, find HRN on site at Santa Anita. You look for the black and gold kiosks. I'll say it because the Baron's not here. Go Steelers. No, I don't think it's going to help much. Just go out and grab your live sports radio if you are at the Breeders' Cup. Just take a look for our black and gold HRRN kiosk. And if you're listening on the live sports radio, you'll hear Found take on both Flincher and Highland Reel. Really, to me, a three-horse race in that turf this year. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody else who's a serious, serious threat. Found, I'll tell you, Aidan O'Brien and the Coolmore folks have not been shy about running their star three-year-old filly from last year. She's run nine times this year. The start in the turf later on Saturday will be her third start in 5 weeks. So they have not been afraid to run this filly this year. She has won two of her nine starts, including the prestigious Arc de Triomphe back on October 2nd at Longchamp in France. Blew the stat heads' minds a little bit because you've heard for 31 years that no horse that's won the Arc has ever won the Breeders' Cup turf. Well, Found went and knocked it out of its ear because she went and won the turf and then the Arc. So I don't know how you want to look at that. We'll see if she can become a two-time Breeders' Cup turf winner. She would follow in the footsteps of horses like Conduit, who did it in 2008 and 2009. High Chaparral, who won it in 2002, and of course Dead Heated with Johar in 2003 in one of the more memorable Breeders' Cup races. So some pretty big shoes to fill for the filly Found, and we'll see if she can do it later on today when she takes on Highland Reel and Flincher. And Flincher, of course, has had a remarkable U.S. campaign this year. Big wins in the Manhattan at Belmont, a couple up at the Spa, in the Bowling Green, where Javier Castellano kept them buried along inside horses until the very, very late stages to win fairly dramatically by just three parts of a length. A little controversy when he won the Grade 1 Sword Dancer Invitational as he had his Rabbit make a right-hand turn when they turned for home and allowed him up the inside. Came just a fifth of a second off the track record that day up at the Spa. Missed by two-fifths of a second last year when he won the Sword Dancer, a fifth of a second this year. Three wins on firm ground. His one loss in the U.S. this season came at the hands of Ecto, who will try to take them wire to wire again in the turf. He did just that in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational last time out when the ground came up yielding. Had a ton of rain here in New York leading up to that race and left the ground very, very wet with a ton of give in it. And Flincher just couldn't find the five lengths he needed to beat Ecto that day. Shouldn't be the case in here. He'll get to hear his feet rattle, if you will, out on that firm Santa Anita turf course. One of four turf races on the card this afternoon. The Breeders' Cup Mile, of course. The Queen of the Turf, Teppan, will try to defend her mile title. Saw her eight-race win streak snapped last time out in the First Lady at the same race last year the win streak started in. She won eight in a row, including an historic trip over to Royal Ascot, where she got the money against the boys and the Queen Anne. She won other grade ones like the Rico Woodbine Mile, the Jenny Wiley at Keeneland, a couple of big performances at Tampa earlier this year, including a course record in the Hillsborough going a mile and an eighth. But last time out in the First Lady, in her title defense in the First Lady, Photo Call, who's back again in the mile today, took them on a merry chase. Got to walk the dog on the front end under Kent DeSormo for the first quarter and half mile and sprinted home. Teppan came running, but it was way too late and she had to settle for second. She'll try to defend her title. And I think of all the favorites that we're looking at, the morning line favorites that we're looking at on this Saturday, and you have horses like California Chrome, like Teppan. I feel like Teppan might be the most vulnerable favorite and horse to defend the title. You have a lot of horses defending their titles from last year as well. Mongolian Saturday in the turf sprint, Teppan in the mile. He got found in the turf, of course. I feel like Teppan might be the most vulnerable. I think she looked a little workmanlike when she got the Rico Woodbine mile win two starts back. Didn't like the fact that she couldn't pick up the pace and run down Photo Call last time out. Maybe the more vulnerable favorite, the most vulnerable favorite on the card this afternoon, along with the mile and the turf. We, of course, have the filly and mare turf, and the Cinderella story of Lady Eli looks to end on a happy, happy note. She finished second in her return in the Boston Spa before taking the Flower Bowl last time out. A pumped-up Arado Tease Jr. when she got up in the Flower Bowl. We'll see if they can make it 3-for-3 going a mile and a quarter. She won as a three-year-old before her battle, her reported battle with Lymanitis. She won the mile and a quarter Belmont Oaks Invitational at Belmont. Took the Flower Bowl at Belmont last time out, both at a mile and a quarter. We'll see if she can handle the 10 furlongs of the filly and mare turf this afternoon. She'll have to deal with a strong Euro contingent that is led by Seventh Heaven, a multiple grade one winner, a filly that beat Found two starts back in the Yorkshire Oaks. The Coolmore boys beat themselves as Seventh Heaven beat Found that day. We'll see if Seventh Heaven, a horse like Queen's Trust, who comes over from Sir Michael Stout, one of the best trainers in the world, Frankie Dettori is going to ride that filly. We'll see if the Euro contingent can take on the U.S. contingent, which is led by Lady Eli and her stablemate, C. Khaleesi, winner of the Grade 1 Beverly D on the Arlington Million undercard. And, of course, 14 of them will go down the hill. The only right-hand turn in North American racing is down that hill out at the Great Race Place. We'll see if Mongolian Saturday can defend his turf sprint title. He got it done at what appears to be his favorite course, Keeneland, last year. We'll see if he can go down that hill. We'll take a look at horses like Celestine and Ohm, who will be cutting back for the first time in either their careers or a long time, for the first time in Ohm's case, for the first time in close to a year in Celestine's case. Turf race is always fun, especially fun on Breeders' Cup Saturday. From the turf, we'll talk a little bit about the juvenile when we come back. Trainer Dale Romans talks about his charge, Not This Time, and we'll take you on the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. Joe Withy from Emerald Downs will join me to handicap a couple of the tougher races on the Breeders' Cup card. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family.
If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. Millridge Raising and Selling Racehorses. Millridge is associated with the very best clients for over 50 years and since 2000 has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners. The Millridge consignment at Keeneland November offers another quality group of mares, including some of Judmont Farm's fine pedigrees. Hip 242, 338, 341, and 362 are all can't miss in Book 1. Also, Book 1 includes the well-bred Bureau de Change, Hip 375, from John and Jerry Ammerman. Millridge Raising and Selling Racehorses.
Racing fans, come see history in the making today at Santa Anita as superstar California bred California Chrome takes on the world in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic to be run at a mile and a quarter. Come early on Saturday as admission gates open at 8 a.m. First live race post time is at 10:25, and in addition to the Classic, which will be run as the 12th and final race, we'll have eight other Grade 1 Breeders' Cup events. Santa Anita Park, proud host of the Breeders' Cup World Championships for a record ninth time.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire to Visadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Horse build that's going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy, a world class sire. Standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Top of the stretch now. Recruiting Ready comes off the turn and takes lead away. But on the outside, Not This Time is rallying and is rallying to the lead. It's Not This Time in front by three. Not This Time by four. Recruiting Ready left behind in second. Farther back looking at Leonardo Thy Father, who were the 16th to go. Not This Time finishing. Full of run in the Iroquois. Wins by six. It was tight for a second, maybe looking at Lee up over it, Recruiting Ready. That's tight, though. Honor Thy Father was fourth.
It was all Not This Time in the Iroquois. Travis Stone on the call. He's your 7-2 morning line favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile later on this afternoon at Santa Anita. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A sitting in for Mike Penner and Jude Feld. They're at the Great Race Place getting ready to bring you all of our Breeders' Cup action. Earlier on this week, trainer Dale Romans, never one to back away from an opinion on a horse he's going to put a saddle on, talked to the guys out in California about Not This Time.
Hello, racing fans. But I've run six or seven horses in the juvenile, and they've all gotten beat. They've all lost. But Not This Time.
We heard it.
How long have you been working on that line?
That one took me 15 minutes.
He's here all week, folks.
That was the reason for the wait.
That was the wait. I couldn't think of something clever to say with you four sitting up here. I could have done three blind mice, three stooges, but there's four of you.
Not This Time, literally, just galloped right past us as you were sitting down. What did you see from him here today?
I saw the two-year-old champion. I mean, that sounds really arrogant, I know, but this is a good horse. And if you aren't in this game, if you aren't halfway arrogant and don't love your horse, you need to find something else to do. I mean, we lose 85% of the time. So
my guess is you want to be able to be arrogant watching your
horse
go by.
This is one you can be confident with. He's such a good horse. I tell you what, this is a good division, though.
How'd you get him beat first time out, then, if he's so good?
Well, I wonder if Breggy's made at Ellis Park. You know, I'm a big Ellis Park fan. And all my good ones, I'm superstitious. All my good ones have broken their maidens down there and gone on to Kentucky Derbies and stuff. And this one did it, too.
Clearly, you like the way the horse arrived here to Santa Anita. You are confident, and you've seen enough talent in this horse leading up to the race. But in particular, you're obviously thrilled with how he's training.
I think I got too many tells. People know when I'm nervous and uptight and things aren't going just right, and I haven't felt like that out here. Everything's gone perfect. Yeah. The horse is doing well. it's saying how great he is. This is a great field of horses. There's not going to be any argument that the winner of this race is 2-year-old champion. There's from top to bottom, this is the solidest field as we've seen in a long time. And I keep saying every interview I do that this is sort of the Derby field. You've got the two great horses coming from New York. You've got the superstar dominant horse out of Florida. Even though he's running against Florida breds, it's truly a quality animal. And then you got the two come from the Midwest, and Marks and my horse coming out here. And they're all meeting for the first time. And the winner will be champion.
Yeah, I called it a Kentucky Derby preview. I really think that's what it is. And your horse, there's so many sharp people, guys that I respect and gals that I respect their handicapping and horse knowledge that absolutely love your horse. And you can't ignore that.
No, and it's a good thing to feel, like walking around here and people, if I didn't respect them before, I respect them after they talk good about my horse. But he's trained super out here. He's trained good his whole year. And he's a special type horse. He could have been the sales topper his yearling year at Keeneland if they'd have run him through the ring coming off of with the pedigree he has and the way he looks and the Giants Causeway. And I've never really had one quite like that. I mean, it's the Marist 3-for-3 stake horses with Liam's Map being the superstar and what a performance he put on last year at the Breeders' Cup and has had off to a great start at a stallion. You can't get to him. And that's this horse's brother. And this horse is showing such good turn of foot. He's smart. He has the looks. He has the pedigree. He has the talent. And what else could I be asking for coming out here? I wish that we were walking out of Barn 4 at Churchill Downs. it might make me feel a little better. In time, next. But you could fast forward to May, put this field in the Kentucky Derby gate, and think you had a great Derby going.
Yep. And we'll see if not this time is freaky fast on Saturday afternoon. Appreciate it, my friend. Good luck.
Thank you, fellas.
A very, very confident Dale Romans is ready to roll with Not This Time in Breeders' Cup Juvenile later on today. And, they said a lot of good things, the guys did. This is a Derby-like field. You have all of the major players that you would want in this race. I'm going to duke this out for a title. You have the Champagne and Hopeful winner and Practical Joke in a race, the Champagne, where nobody deserved to lose. Syndergaard, a tough, tough nose defeat that afternoon. He's back for more from the inside with Speed. The 1-2 from the local prep to front runner, Gormley and Klimt for John Sheriffs and Bob Baffert. Again, part of that big Baffert contingent. Here, you have Not This Time, who won the Iroquois. Classic Empire, the Breeders' Futurity winner. Theory, another one from Todd Pletcher. He also trains Syndergaard. Three Rules, as Dale Romans mentioned, coming up from Gulfstream Park. Everybody who you want in this juvenile is here and ready to roll. It should be an unbelievable juvenile. Again, two juvenile winners have gone on to grab the roses on the first Saturday in May. Street Sense, the first to do it back in 2006 and 2007. And then, of course, just last year, Nyquist was undefeated, winning both the Juvenile and the Kentucky Derby. We'll see if one of these two-year-olds can do it. There's 11 in the field. If one of these two-year-olds could pull off one of the more elusive daily doubles in all of horse racing, a Juvenile and Derby win. It's Breeders' Cup Day. Road to the Breeders' Cup is coming to an end, but we got one more installment of the Road to the Breeders' Cup, and it's presented by Gainsway Farm.
This is the Road to the Breeders' Cup.
In the race of the year, fourth horse of the year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And nice enough to join us now for a few minutes is my buddy Joe Withy from Emerald Downs. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Hey, Big A, Anthony, good morning to you. Thanks for having me. Breeders' Cup time,
right,
gotta love it.
Yeah, gotta love it. Let's try and make some money on Breeders' Cup Saturday, Joe. Usually this is the other way around. I'm coming on the Win Place show and giving the folks in the Pacific Northwest a bunch of winners. Hopefully we could do it the other way now.
They know you well out here, Anthony. They know
My
you well.
Precedes
they
me.
Hate it when the show goes off. in late August, right before the end of our meet, and no more Anthony Stabile in the Northwest, at least on the Win Place show until next spring. But Breeders' Cup awaits, huh?
Yeah, Breeders' Cup awaits. We're going to talk about a couple of races here. We'll start off with the Juvenile Fillies, and that actually kicks the action off today. 12:05 Pacific Time, 3:05 Eastern Time. You'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We got a solid field of 12 in here, Joe. You know, you look at, again, you have all the players you really want. You have the Alcibiades 1-2 of Dancing Reds and Daddy's Little Girl. You have the winner of the Frizette here at Belmont in Yellow Agate. You have the winner of the 1-2 finishers from the Chandelier at Santa Anita, noted and quoted with honors. How'd you see this race unfolding in the early running?
Oh, boy. You know, you said it. There are contenders galore. You know, last year you had Songbird and Nyquist take the juvenile races, and they came in undefeated. They were favored. They came through very nicely. This year, both the juvenile races, to me, just look really, really tough because, as you just mentioned, all these contenders, you've got all these good fillies in this fourth race Saturday that have excellent records. Connections have to be super confident going in. Well-bred fillies, all the top jockeys and trainers, so many even horses on paper, but Valadorna, who's a maiden breaker from Keeneland early in October, she was extremely impressive that day. I like her, you know, and I follow sires pretty close. I see a horse by a sire, I might follow it a little more than I might another sire. And Curlin, you know, is becoming one of the world's greatest sires. And, there, you know, no doubt about his prowess as a racehorse, but his horses are really running. And if you watch the replay of her race October 7th at Keeneland, Julian Leperoux just had her on a hold until after the quarter pole, a light hold. But she was just running into the bit and making up ground from off the pace. And when he let her run in the stretch, it was impressive. I mean, she finished at a mile and a 16th. I think she's a really, really good filly. Her first race, she broke slow, passed horses all the way. She's been in a couple of big fields. You know, the post position, she should be able to save a little ground with speed to her inside. I like Valadorna, 5-1 morning line.
We're together, my friend.
Okay.
I'm with you.
I did not know that, but I always like to be with you.
I like her as well. Who are you going to try and close out your exotics with?
Well, you know, I have a lot of contenders below her. Daddy's Little Darling impressed me. Scat Daddy Philly, who did get beat in the Alcibiades, but, boy, she was really running on. And, you know, Corey Lannery has really moved to the fore as a rider the last 5 years or so. And, you know, she has other nice races at different tracks. She's running the mud. You know, since she's gone to two-turn racing, she's really come to the front. And she's 12-1. I like her second, Daddy's Little Darling. Dancing Rags, I'd put up there as well. Daughter of Union Rags, who's impressing in his first crop with runners. She's coming out of the win over Daddy's Little Darling in the Alcibiades. So I guess I like the Kentucky horses this year, Anthony.
All right. The Kentucky horses for the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Joe Withey's nice enough to join us here on the road to the Breeders' Cup. And we'll be back with some more of Joe Withey after a few words from Gainsway.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable. And is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. I'm the Big A, Anthony Steele. Joe Withey from Emerald Downs, nice enough to join me here on the road to the Breeders' Cup. All right, Joe, from the Juvenile Fillies to the Turf Sprint, and a race that killed a lot of trees, if you printed out your PPs.
Yeah, right.
If you printed out your PPs this year, your pre-entry PPs. 14 of them going to go down the hill. We'll take out the number 7, Soudois. We'll take out the number 15, Lady Shipman. It allows Green Mask, the number 16, to draw into the field. Full field of 14 going down that hill. And what a unique turf course it is, Joe. The only right-hand turn in all of American racing.
Yeah, it's a special place, Santa Anita. Just a beautiful setting. I'm hearing it's the 9th Breeders' Cup there, and just a fantastic venue for it with that unique turf course. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm going to the little bit of a price horse I'm going to. I haven't heard a lot of other handicappers on number 13, Holy Loot, but that's where I'm going. You know, if you look back earlier this year and last year, maybe not quite the class of some of these horses, but he has never been better. He draws well to the outside. Great familiarity with this course. And Jamie Terrio, since he's got a board, you know, he's got along very well. There was two divisions of that Eddie D a month ago or so at Santa Anita, and he ran much faster than the winner of the other division. That's to his credit, and we know the outside posts are more favorable going down the hill. And, you know, the Euros, let's face it, they are tremendous on the grass when they come over and run in North America. But, you know, I just am not seeing, I could be wrong, but I'm not seeing great Euros in this race. Carrar, the 5 horse, is the one I like the best of them. But, you know, obviously, shoot, 2-3 years he ran against Wise Dan twice in the Breeders' Cup Mile, but what is he? He's 1-for-6 the last 2 years. He's won 1 of his last 8. He does have some positive experience down the hill in previous years. He's always scary, but, you know, he's just not winning like he used to. Mongolian
many
Saturday
moons ago.
Likes to go
many
shorter.
Many moons ago for obviously.
Yeah. What's that now? I missed that.
Many moons ago for obviously. He hasn't been down the hill in 3.5 years.
That's right. That's right. It's been a long time. You know, let's see. Some of the others, a lot is a powerful horse, not a huge win type as well. I'm just seeing a good time for Holy Loot with that post, with his sharp current form, with the course familiarity. And his style, he's going to be stalking and finishing. So I'm going to give a little 10-1. I think he might even be more than 10-1. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to go up in there. I can't see the favorite being anything less than 5-1.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the case in here. Maybe there's 7 horses between 5-1 and 9-1. But I think he'll get lost in the shuffle a little bit. He's one of the only horses I'm not really I couldn't talk you off of him because of all of your good points. But there's only so many
exactly.
At some point you got to say no to some of these. There's like 7 or 8 of them I think can win this. I'm outside with you as well. I like Celestine and Ohm and Undrafted as well. Undrafted's the horse where, you know, you always feel like he's got the one real, real big one in him, but he's never fired it yet. Maybe this is the one to fire. He ran well 2 years ago down the hill when he was third to Bobby's Kitten. Maybe this is his turf sprint. Maybe this is the one with his name on it. But it is a wide open, one of the funnest races of the day. And I agree with you about the Euros, Joe. I think the best Euro sprinter this year is running in the mile, and that's LaMotto.
Right, so, LaMotto looked real tough on Saturday.
But a few minutes left here on the Equine Forum this morning. We got to talk about the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Field of 10. We got California Chrome. He's even money. He might be the biggest favorite of the 2 days. You trying to beat Chrome, or do you think he adds to that $13 million today?
I like the horizontal wagers, and I'll have him on some pick 3 and pick 4 tickets for sure. You know, if you really want to win the bet, let's face it. He's won $11 million at a mile and a quarter alone, but I think Arrogate is a super horse. You know, He's traveled. He's won. That Travers, you know, Unbridled Song horses, let's face it, he's been a tremendous sire, one of the best. But when I see his horses running at a mile and a quarter, I don't get excited. And then with my mouth open watching that Travers and what Arrogate did, I mean, he is a superior horse. He draws outside. You know, maybe he has stalked and won before. Melatonin certainly super tough at Santa Anita, but Arrogate might be just a level above, and California Chrome might not be able to catch this horse. I'm going to have Arrogate on every pick three and pick four ticket on Saturday, Anthony.
All right, and if you listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network, you know that I am the biggest Frosted fan, literally and figuratively,
yep,
around. I think he's going to get the money. I think he sits the right trip behind all the speed and gets the money. I think you got to respect Arrogate. You, of course, have to respect California Chrome in this spot. I'm going to give you a little bit of a long shot to use, Joe. Shaman Ghost.
Yes, for sure.
The chief's son, Jimmy Jerkins, looking to follow in his Hall of Fame father's footsteps and slay some big favorite here, and he'll have his chance. I see Chrome as a big favorite, Arrogate a pretty solid second choice, and then the rest of it up in the air. A lot of fun, Joe. Thanks for joining me this morning. Good luck at the Breeders' Cup today.
Always great to be with you, Big A. Thank you for the opportunity. Happy Cup to you.
All right, happy Breeders' Cup. Joe Withy from Emerald Downs out in the Pacific Northwest might be taking a trip out to see my friend Joe Withy next summer. Well, a quick 2 hours in the books here. It's Breeders' Cup Day. We're ready to roll here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Don't forget, 3 to 9 tonight, Sirius XM 93, horseracingradio.net. If you want to listen in Espanol, head on over to HRRN and Espanol. El Potro, Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma, Ramon Dominguez, and Jose Arturo have all of that coverage for you. On behalf of producer to the stars, Lee Delapina, and everyone here at HRN, I am the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Happy Breeders' Cup Day, everyone. I hope you win all of your photo finishes at the Breeders' Cup.